question. Thinking about the analogy of the accountant.
Yeah.
In that analogy, it seems, you know, that it probably works pretty linearly, the training.
Yeah.
Then you really probably don't stand any chance of being able to balance your bank statement.
Yes.
You kind of have to master some basic skill, or else the later skill, just forget about it.
Yeah.
So I understand with the Dhamma practice, it's not exactly so linear.
Yes.
And then you can, you know, undertake different steps all simultaneously, etc.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, since you've taught many students, Western students, monks, and lay people, have you noticed that there are any particular, say, what you might call more basic or preliminary practices that really is important to kind of focus on at the beginning? And then similarly, are there any other practices that if you try to start them out at the beginning, like your chances of being able to do those practices are pretty slim, or only maybe the exceptional person would be able to do that?
Yeah, you know, I think the... and again, this is, it's not set in stone, but in terms of a general principle, kind of just at least a modicum of kind of faith and confidence, and not just sort of faith and confidence in the teaching and the Buddha's path or the overall structure, but there's also a kind of a confidence in the fact that, yeah, if I put some effort into this, there's going to be a result. That it's not too cynical or hopeless, because we can easily undermine ourselves by both in terms of just looking at the Buddha's teachings as, I mean, he's just some other philosopher or something, and then not giving the teachings a fair shot, we think that it's, you know, well, the teachings are fine for him, but they don't really apply to me. So there needs to be that fundamental confidence that needs to be paid attention to and kind of nurtured and remembered as a... And of course, the other practices, you know, will feed back into that. But it has to be kind of remembered. Oh, yeah, this is really foundations and fundamental to growth. And then, you know, in terms of practices that you know, some people can pick up the teachings in an intellectual way, and then sort of like, you know, it's all about letting go and non-discrimination and non-dual nature of reality and blah blah blah, and which may be true enough, but you know, the foundation isn't there. So that the real kind of stability and equanimity and clarity to actually let go is not there. So that's a drawback sometimes. Just because you can conceive of it intellectually, it doesn't mean that's actually all that realizable. It's like wishful thinking. It's like, I remember Ajahn Chah, there was a monk who came to Ajahn Chah's monastery, and you know, part of being at Ajahn Chah's monastery is following the Vinaya, the monk's rules of discipline. One of the monk's rules of discipline is not to have money, and he came and sort of said, "Well, you know, I'm carrying money, and I want to stay here. And well, I'm not attached to it though. And then they can I still stay here? And Ajahn Chah sort of said, well, yeah, if you can, you know, if you can eat a cup of salt and say it's not salty, then yeah, okay, you can stay. You know, so that you know, sort of it's okay to talk about it, but you know, real relinquishment comes from and kind of letting go, non-clinging, you know, comes from you know, kind of a real stability of mind, clarity. So those are two ends of the path that you know both need that gradual support.